AMP Radio.
Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you by Lavassi International. Lavassi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavassi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavassi International, lavassi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.UK. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
AMP Radio.
Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah, okay. You got mind?
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? I always ask that of all my prey. I just like the sound of it.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you by the AMP Radio Network. We are coming to you live and direct from the international. Thank you, Gordy, for shouting that out for us. The international site of the AMP Radio Studios. For another edition of Smack My Picks Up. This one we like to call UFC Fight Night 121, Verdum versus Tibera. Of course, this is coming to us live and direct Saturday, November the 19th. That's my friend's birthday. Happy birthday. 2017 at the Quadros Bank Arena in Sydney, New South Wales, Australia. Did I hype it up enough for you there, DJ Tony? Thought so. The event here is the fifth UFC event in Sydney and the first since UFC Fight Night Rockhold versus Bisping in November 2014. Can you believe it? Tonight on Smack My Picks Up, as
you
always, we will break down the card, and of course, we're going to do everybody's favorite segment, Smack My Picks Up Spotlight Fight of the Night. That's correct. And then, of course, after that, ladies and gentlemen, we will go into the news and notes of the evening because there's lots of news and notes since the last time we spoke, DJ Tony. So, but let's not waffle here. Let's get to bringing everybody in. Let's meet the voice of insanity. That's right. From deep in the heart of North Carolina, it's the first lady of AMP Radio, Pam from North Carolina. Absolutely.
Oh, man. Steve, technology, man. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it sucks. Like right now it sucks. It wouldn't let me call in. Carajo.
I hear you.
Real quick while I have my like 2 minutes of fame, I want to give a shout out to some of my friends who are tuning in tonight. And where this is Team Cyborg crew, we're talking about Mercy, Rena, and Allie. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Glad to have them, absolutely.
That's right. Can we give them a what's up?
What's up? I can't do that like you guys do. That's a guy thing. What's happening?
Oh, what's up, guys? And bring in the boss. From somewhere deep in California, you know where he's from. The DJ not in the PJs tonight.
Hey, DJ! Yes, yes, yes!
DJ Tony.
What's up, train by day?
AMP Radio.
Podcast by night. All day.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
AMP Radio.
Don't be scared, homie.
Coming at you, Prados. The lovely Pam was having issues, but it might be hurricanes. Who knows? It may be Brazilian weather in North Carolina.
It could be. You never know.
Crickets.
Coming at us deep from the heart of the Texas, the one and only, the star of the show. Let's bring him in, brother. Marco from Waco.
Dun, 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 dun. I got no music. I'm getting no love.
Yeah.
Marco from Waco, oh my God, we're drowning here, guys. We're drowning. Let's get this figured out.
You're getting more rain again?
No, you're drowning on technical difficulties.
Well, you know what, man? Sometimes that happens when somebody's phone isn't working. We got to try and roll with the punches. Guess what? Live radio, Marco. What are we going to do?
I know. That's what I love to do. Because we always got to roll with the punches and try to get escape informations and not write them up ourselves and get choked out.
We're going to do a couple of fights on the main card. And, of course, we'll do some spotlight fights of the night. And we'll go from there, you know. So now that we've got all those technical difficulties out of the way, as I was saying, we're going to get into the card that is UFC Fight Night, Werdum versus Tibera. And DJ Tony, and we're going to start at the bottom, I believe, and work our way to the top. Let's start with Marco.
Is that a great song?
Could have been. I don't know. I don't know who Drake is. Sorry.
Oh, my God. Shut up.
Yeah, started from the bottom.
No, we're here. Absolutely. Started from the bottom, and the whole team's here. Oh, sorry.
the
whole team's here today.
We're having too much fun. To the lightweight division we go. Nick Lentz taking on our boy from Bellator, Will Brooks. And, of course, we call Nick Lentz the carny, and of course he's going up against Ill Will. Nick Lentz is 29-8-2 with one no contest. Will Brooks, I'm at 18-3 with no contest. And of course, guys, I'm looking up the odds on this one right now, and it is looking like Nick Lentz is a plus 360, whereas Brooks coming back at us is a minus 340. Marco, I'm going to start with you. What you got on this one?
I got Will Brooks all day, man. I'm kind of surprised that they got Nick Lentz on the red corner, I guess because he got seniority. Will Brooks is not ranked right now. You know, he had a little bit of a bumpy road on his UFC tenure, a little bit of backlog, too. But I see this fight is set up for him to shine. You know, Brooks is a better athlete, the more skillful fighter. Pens and purposes, he should run through Nick Lentz. Nick Lentz is a tough guy, and he makes up for his lack of athleticism with his toughness. Brooks is going to be able to dictate the pace. You know, he's probably going to beat this guy against the cage, run a pound, rinse and repeat for all three rounds. And I'm going to give a straight 30-27 victory to Will Brooks.
Wow. All right. Marco going with the 30-27 decision for Will Brooks. Tony, are you ready to take a stab at this fight? What you got on this one? Nick Lentz versus Will Brooks.
You know what? Nick Lentz is one of those fighters that always seems to never be out of the fight. Will Brooks, guys, if you really look at it, he's really underwhelmed. I was telling Proteus that aside from making his UFC debut where he really crapped the bed, right, against Ross Pearson, that was a decision. And Pam will tell you, he is a decisionator, but he lost two straight after winning, I guess, maybe a split decision win, really. I mean, it was unanimous, but did he really win it? Who knows, right? Then he loses to Alex Oliveira, loses to Charles Oliveira, the Oliveira brothers, not to be confused with the Pitbull brothers, right? Or the famous Diaz brothers. But I don't know if the one thing that we can talk about, guys, is that the Bellator competition is better at the top than we think it normally is. But at the middle, is it really UFC level? Who knows? But I'm taking Will Brooks. I'm taking Will Brooks via decision. And it's going to be an ugly fight. One of those fights that Pammy would say might be a bathroom break fight.
Wow. Those are some harsh words there, DJ Tony. Wow. Let's throw it to the voice of insanity. Pam, Nick Lentz versus
that would be
Will
me.
Brooks. Are these guys speaking truth, or do you got
No, they're right. I think across the board, I think we're all going to have the same decision. And it's so funny because Tony said the same thing that I was going to say with the losses to the Oliveira brothers.
The twins.
But, like I said, Mickey Lentz is never really out of the fight. simply, just to move it along, I'm going Will Brooks by decision.
All right. You know what I love about these high school girls? I digress. Listen, guys.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
You know, anybody who didn't know, that's a movie quote. It's not me being a chauvinistic pig. Will Brooks versus Nick Lentz. Listen, this is going to be a fight that Will Brooks needs to really show out. He needs to prove himself. He needs to prove that he can hang here, guys, because as DJ was telling, DJ Tony was talking to me last night, I mean, Will Brooks really hasn't shown us anything since he's come over. This is a real proving ground. I don't think he's going to get it done, to be honest with you. I'm going to go with Nick Lentz. I'm going to take Nick Lentz by a decision. I think it's been a hard fought fight, but of course the carny is used to those. And yeah, I'm going to take decision. No, probably a split because it's going to be a very, very close and also entertaining fight. Anybody else have one last comment at all there, or can we move on to the next fight?
We can move on.
Absolutely.
We're good.
Moving on. Oh, Marco's got something else to say. Go ahead.
Move along.
Oh, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Sorry, I could hardly hear you. It sounds like you are underwater, sir. I apologize. Moving on to the lightweight division, we go. Apparently, my boy, and of course, Pammy's boy, we'll get that music queued up for you later. Don't worry, Pammy. Elias, the Spartan, Theodoro, coming at us at a 14-2-0 record. Of course, Daniel, Dad Bod Kelly, coming at us from deep in the heart of Australia. 13-2-0. Let me give you guys the odds real quick. Theodoro coming at us at a -245. But versus Kelly at a +210. Pammy, since it's your guy, we got to throw to the hair model. Pam, what you got?
I couldn't tell. Every time people say that dad bod, it just...
Right?
It cracks me up. I think it's just funny. It is funny. I mean, yeah, right. Because remember I was asking, and it was a legit question, but I think that you all thought that I was kidding. But when I asked, how many wraps can you have on your body before it's illegal? You know? I mean, Seriously. You got them on your knees. You got them on your ankles. You got them on your elbows. But anyway, whatever. Okay, so Elias Theodorou, the Spartan versus Daniel, Dad Bod Kelly. Elias, he's, how do you say it? Elias. I can't say the English.
Say it however Elias. You like.
Okay, Elias, cardio king, he's like the cardio king. He has a good chin because he has never been knocked out. His losses are 2 by decision, and one of them was a questionable decision. The thing with him is he's a very technical fighter. So he's not one of those in-your-face fighters. He's one of those fighters that wants to make sure that every strike counts. So he kind of, for lack of a better word, seems to be slow because he's countering and he's looking for that opening so he can do his damage. And people want to see balls to the wall, knees flying, elbows flying. And he's just not that kind of a fighter. But we have to keep in mind that Dan Kelly, he's a judo master. I mean, this dude is a judo. He has losses to Brunson and Elvey. But given that, I'm taking Elias, and I'm going to go with a second-round TKO.
All right. Second-round TKO.
He's been in training in Australia, so I'm looking for him to do like some kangaroo kicks or something.
Wow, kangaroo kicks. Watch out for them.
Yes. I'm being specific. Kangaroo kicks. Death by kangaroo kicks.
All right. So second round TKO, or sorry, KO for the hair model, Elias Theodoro. Yeah, absolutely. Coming out of my home country. Marco, let's throw to you. What you got here? What's that? All three of us? Yeah, all three of us.
Go ahead.
No, no. I was throwing to you. Dan Kelly versus Elias Theodoro. All yours.
We got another member of Team Old Chili. Elias Theodoro joins Alan Juvan, Pablo Costa, and Luke Rocco as the four freaking best-looking muscles in the UFC. It's not fair, man. It's not freaking fair. The guy got such a hair. You know, I see him fight live. I think he just floats. Like, damn, dude. But Donaldson will tell you that Elias Theodoro is a more athletic guy. He should have stayed on the ocean and tried to outpoint Dan Kelly. Don't try to get on the clinch with him. But Dan Kelly is undefeated in Australia. Dan Kelly, for all intents and purposes, he's a dapper, whatever you want to say, but he's a tough muffler. He stays right on your face and he pressures you. And the losses that Theodoro has on his record have been to guys that have pressured him and don't let him get a space to throw his kicks and stuff. I got a feeling that Kenny's going to pull this one off. That Buffalo Hill, the mummy returns. Because he got so wraps.
Wow.
He's a mummy right now. I'm picking Kelly. And I tell you what, I think he's going to surprise people and he's going to clip Theodoro on the second, early on the third, and he's going to get a TKO. For one reason or another, I'm going with the bad, but man, you know, he has to represent the 40-year-olds out there. I don't get any younger, so let's give me Kelly with a TKO early on the third.
Wow, Marco, going with the dad bod. I love it. Early in the second, TKO. Wowzers, wowzers, wowzers. All right, so I'm going to give my quick – no, you know what, Tony? Let's throw to you on this one real quickly because we're gonna throw to you for the next fight. So, Tony, who you got here, Elias, or you got Daniel Kelly?
You know what, Proteus? Pam's probably going to kill me, but Marco will probably agree with me on this one. I'm not sure I know what type of fighter Elias Theodoro is any longer. I'm not joking. First, I thought he was a little bit of a kickboxer, maybe an American kickboxer. Then, you know, his jiu-jitsu game really hasn't evolved that much. And now he's just kind of like a guy that just grabs you and kind of hangs on to you and occasionally will throw a kick. If you really look at what he's done recently, guys, it's been four straight decisions. And decisions, honestly, that could have, if he would have put more effort, could have gone the other way. Certainly beat, I think, Sam Alvey pretty decently, but Sam Alvey always takes those last-minute fights. Cesar Ferreira. That was a pretty boring fight, two boring fights in a row. Brad Tavares, I think, quite handily beat him in all three rounds. But I think Dan Kelly, being a judo guy, being at home, I think if Elias Theodoro doesn't keep distance, guys, I think Dan Kelly's just going to keep taking him down and taking him down. I don't think Dan Kelly can submit him, but I think he's just going to keep it down. And I think it's going to be a boring fight, guys. I think Elias Theodoro is going to lose this decision and just due to either lack of effort or just not enough throwing power. That's what I think.
Wow. Let's let Pam in for a retort here because that was pretty scathing. Pam, are you going to take that?
No. You know, I get that Dan Kelly is a big judo guy. And the kind of weird thing is, okay, you have a 5-inch reach advantage with Elias as far as striking, but Dan Kelly has a 3-inch advantage in his legs. So, you know, it's going to be kind of funky.
Right.
But I'm still taking a TKO because keep in mind, Derek Brunson TKO'd Dan Kelly in the first round, and I know that Elias is not Derek Brunson, but I mean, he can be taken down. So there.
Yeah, I think this is going to be. I think you guys are kind of, spelling it out here. I mean, it's going to be a test of whether or not Theodoro can keep Kelly from taking him down, and I would hope that the younger fighter would have a bit of an advantage. But of course, Daniel Kelly is, as we've noted, very, very talented. Judo player, and Yeah, it's going to be a tough one for Theodoro. But listen, I as Pam had mentioned, I appreciate that Theodoro is taking the time to get over to the other side of the planet and train there. And I think he's going to have the advantage. I think perhaps Kelly won't surprise us again. I mean, he's the guy who surprises us time and time again. But I'm going to take Theodoro. I'm going to take him sometime early in the second by TKO. I think he's gonna, you know, be able to catch up with Kelly and like I said, catch him. And I don't know. That's what I think there. So a second round TKO for me on that one. All right, guys. So let's move along real quickly again. Yeah, sure. Go ahead, brother.
I disagree that it's going to be a boring fight because Dan Kelly is usually not in boring fights because he always push forward and bring the fight. If it's going to be boring, Theodore might make it boring, but not Kelly.
All right. I agree. I mean, I think Kelly's going to come at him, so we'll have to see what happens. It's again, a very, very interesting fight, and I'm looking forward to it. But DJ Tony, let's go ahead and move up to the welterweight division we go. Bilal Muhammad, 29 years of age, 12-2, against the Dirty Bird. Jim Means, and of course, Bilal's nickname is Remember the Name. And of course, the Dirty Bird. Coming at us at a record of 27-8-1 in one no contest against Bilal, Remember the Name, Mohammed, 12-2-0. Tony, I'm going to throw to you. What you got?
Here's the thing, guys. I think if any fight has a chance to be fight of the night, I think it's this one. And I'll tell you why. I think Bilal Mohammed has been one of those guys that, you're right, a lot of people will probably struggle with the name. Maybe that's why they don't remember the name. Maybe they don't remember the name just because
he's
not as flashy as some of the others. Yeah, right. But he is from Rufus Sport. But I think what he has that Pettis doesn't have is confidence in his game. I think Pettis, the one thing that Pettis has struggled with, it hasn't been talent. Maybe he doesn't have the same supplements that he used to have. But Bilal Muhammad is one of those guys that has really taken his game to I don't really mean it that way, but he's taken his game to a different level. He beat Randy Brown, who literally manhandled Mickey Gall, beat Jordan Mayne. He literally, before he went on his two-fight win streak, he was kind of like teetering, right? Lost to Alan Jobon, cue the music for Bam. Of course, beat Augusto Montana, beat Vicente Luque. He's fought good fighters, guys. And one thing that he's doing is he is finishing fights via decision, but he is finishing fights. I'm going to give it to Bilal Muhammad, even though Tim Means is a much larger fighter at 6'2". But I just think that I don't have confidence in Means' game, even though he does always seem to bring it. But I have confidence in that Bilal Muhammad is going to find a way to win it. I do think he's going to finish, believe it or not, Tim Means, and I think he's going to finish him probably, let's just say he's going to KO him in the second, late second.
You're going to be hearing a lot of...
Yeah, Tony, I think that you're right that this is the most interesting fight, you know, meritocracy-wise on this main card, in my opinion, because it is very interesting to see where Bilal Muhammad is at. Like you said, Tony, you know, coming off of those two last wins, looking good again. And I've been off and on with this guy. You know what I mean? I've been, should I bet on him? Should I not take him? You know, it's one of those things where I've bet on him and he's lost. And then I haven't bet on him and he's won. So very, very hard for me to pick here, but I got to go with my boy, the Dirty Bird, in this one. I think perhaps the young buck is going to come out a little fired up. He's going to come out a little bit wild, and Tim Means is going to be able to take him out in the second by submission. For me, Tony, that's, if you can mark that down in the book for me, that's what I'm going with. But Marco, let's throw to you on this one, because as Tony was saying, I think it's a very interesting fight. Blaho Muhammad versus Tim Means. What you got?
This is probably going to be the fight of the night. I agree with Tony there. These two dudes are primed for violence. They're not interested in taking it to the ground. They just want to throw bombs. You know, Tim Means want to throw elbows and knees. Blaho Muhammad want to throw haymaker chingazos. famously, you know, Tim Means got knocked out by Matt Brown a while ago. And I think that was the end of his run. That is when Tim Means was hot. He was on a good winning streak. You know, he was taking on Matt Brown that was ranked number 5 at the time. I think Tim Means was ranked number 7. And now he's on rank. So that tells you a lot of where Tim Means' career is going, in which direction. On the other hand, I think Muhammad, Bilal Muhammad is on the upswing. I'm going to pick Muhammad. I think he is the harder striker. I think he's greedy. And every time you bring the fight to Tim Means, he falls. Lately, he hasn't been able to hold over people that get up right on his face. And like I said, he's run ended when Matt Brown knocked him out. Ever since then, he's been pretty much a 500 fighter. So give me Muhammad on a second round TKO too. You know, and I will remember the name, Bilal Muhammad.
Wow.
You're going to be hearing a lot of, let's bang, bro.
Absolutely. We're going to hear a lot of, let's bang, bro, in this fight. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So Marco taking Muhammad by second round TKO, Pam.
You're going to be hearing a lot of, let's bang, bro.
And I think maybe I'm going with my heart like Marco was last week with betting on the pit bull to win, and of course that turned out well for him. But Pam, Tim Means versus Bilal Muhammad, who you got?
Okay, first of all, let me get you guys squared up here. Tim Means was KO'd in 2004. Okay, so you know what's worse than chingazos? Are putazos, and that's what's going to happen at this fight. Bilal Muhammad, he is good at everything. You know, still young, 5'10". He's got a 72-inch reach with a 40-inch leg reach, where the Dirty Bird, 75 versus 43. And I tell you, man, those inches always matter. Height, 5'10 versus 6'2". Tim Means has that crazy cardio, that crazy technique. He's won the 7 out of his last 10. 7 out of his last 10. He losses to one of the Oliveira brothers, Matt Brown and Neil Magny. You know, that's in 10 fights. So given that, I think it's going to be a good fight. I think it's going to be a really good fight. I think it's going to end up a little bit of a striking match. But in the end, I think that Means gets it with the KO. And because I want to be greedy and I want to see a lot of this fight, I'm going to go with the third round TKO.
You're going to be hearing a lot of, let's bang, bro.
Okay. Pam goes with the Tim.
Third round TKO. The Dirty Bird.
Third round TKO.
The Dirty Bird.
TKO. All right. So listen, I want to be
real good.
Thank you, Tony. I want to fly through this next fight because I don't know about you guys, but I think that it's a fight for Beck Rollins to win. So moving along to the women's 115-pound division, we go. We have Beck Rollins fighting the shadow character, Jessica Rose Clark, and of course she goes by Jessie Jess Clark.
Jessie Jess.
Right on. Jessie Jess, absolutely. So we have Beck, the rowdy Rawlings, coming at us from Australia, of course, her home country, 7-6-0 against Jessie Jess Clark, 7-4-0 with one no contest. Pam, I'm going to throw to you after I give you the odds, so get yourself ready.
I'm ready.
I am going to go here with the odds. Rawlings coming at us in a minus 155 versus Jessie Jess at a +135. Pam, please go.
I'm taking Jesse Jeff by decision. That's my girl, Jesse Jeff.
And, oh.
If you look at the fight card, look at it on paper. Don't you be awing me. She has lost by four decisions. You know, she's lost by four decisions. And Beck Rollins has lost by four decisions and two KOs. She's 5-5 of her last 10 fights. I'm just not feeling it with her. I'm going with Jesse Jeff, man. I'm taking her decision.
All right, all right, all right. Let's throw to the DJ, not in the PJs here. Let's get through this one real quick. You got Jesse Jeff, so you got the Beck Rollins in her hometown, home country.
You know,
right.
Both of them are from Australia.
I didn't know that, but this is certainly a battle of salty records. Maybe salty records in Australia, right? Because Beck Rollins with a strong 7-6 with two straight losses in a row. And, of course, Jesse Jess. By the way, if I was into face tattoos, we would cue the music, but I'm not into face tattoos, so we're not cueing the music. At a 7-4-1, I'm feeling what Pam's feeling. Honestly, I think they're both average at best fighters, not joking. And I think they set this fight up for Beck Rollins to win, but I haven't seen Beck Rollins ever be impressive. I mean, literally, I don't recall, unless you guys can tell me otherwise, aside from having literally a gorgeous face, I don't recall her ever being impressive, guys. She wasn't impressive in the Tough House. She wasn't impressed. She's literally hasn't been impressive in the UFC. So I'm picking the newcomer. She wasn't impressive in Invicta, that's for darn sure. So I'm picking the newcomer. I'm picking Jesse Jess, the decision over Beck Rollins.
Wow, two fence riders here with a decision. I can't not believe it. No, I'm just joking with you guys. Listen, I agree with you, DJ Tony, that, you know, Beck Rollins has not looked very impressive. I do believe that this 115 is not the correct weight for her. I've said this in the past. I think she would look way more impressive in that 125 division. However, I do think that this is a time for her to shine. As Pam had alluded to, you know, Jesse Jess is a skilled fighter. Kind of the same kind of records, but I think that Beck is going to be able to throw some bungalows here and get a second round TKO. I'm going against the grain right here with Rollins TKO second round. Marco,
Chingazos.
Let's go ahead and throw to you, brother. Yes, exactly. Thank you, Tony. Chingazos indeed. Marco, what you got in this fight, Rollins versus Clark, quickly.
First of all, poor J.J. Clark, man. She got a shadow on the UFC website, and she's the first unknown. Because she doesn't have a country either. Man, they beat her wrong, dude. I don't understand why this fight is the co-main event, dude. I mean, Dan Kelly is from Australia. He's a known commodity in Australia. Elias Theodoro is a recognizable fighter. That should have been the co-main, man. I mean, yeah, that Rollins is from Australia too, but record for record, they should be on the prelims, dude. I'm talking about like the 5+ prelims.
I agree with Marco.
It's I'm picking back Rollins. I'm saying she's going to rise to the occasion. She's going to have the whole country from Australia, you know, supporting her. She's going to get that boost of adrenaline that comes with fighting on the home turf. I cannot tell you anything about her opponent. A total unknown to me. And because she's an unknown, I'm going to take the non-commodity. The non-commodity in Beck Rollins, I think she's going to decision this girl. It might be interesting, you know, Beck Rollins is good at the scramble sometimes. He likes to pepper people with the ground and pound. Nothing too impressive, you know, that's like, her record is what it is. But I'm thinking back to Rollins on a 29-28 decision on an entertaining, even but forgettable fight.
All right, Marco, I'm going to...
Proteus, sorry, I don't mean to hijack the show, but I do agree with Marco. Listen, I'm a huge Beck Rawlings fan, as you guys know, but I don't think that this fight does not belong in as a co-main in any promotion. Sorry, guys.
No, I was agreeing with Marco as well. I think, as Marco had alluded to, we probably could have seen that Theodoro Kelly fight in this position. I would have been totally happy with that. Unfortunately, that is not the case. Pam, you got a quick comment on this one?
No, I agree. I was looking at that, and I was thinking, why is this a co-main if they've got the girl's picture blocked out? They don't have any stats on her. I had to go through three different sites just to find out what reach she had. So how do you make this a co-main event and then not have any kind of information about the person that's fighting?
Exactly.
But no, they should have had somebody else should have been a co-main. And I agree, Elias would have been fun. I think they should have been maybe at the last fight the first fight on the main card, not the co-main. You know, if they wanted to keep it on the main card, it should have been the first fight on the main card, and it had all these
all right,
other fights
fair
before
enough.
Them.
No, I mean I agree. I mean, it's strange decision making by the UFC, but hey, we've seen a lot of that lately. Marco, let's go on to the main event, because I want to get to some news, and we're kind of running longer than I thought that we would. So let's throw to the heavyweight division. We go number 2 ranked Fabricio Vicalo Verdum, coming at us from Brazil, 21-7-1 against your boy from Poland, number 8 Marcin Tybura, sorry, kind of the same thing, but whatever, let's not harp on it. Marco, let's go straight to you, brother. Who you got in the main event?
Well, first of all, kudos to Verdum for replacing Marcin on this main event, because he went from, number 7 prime category in the world to number 2. That one game is thing. Tell me if the world maybe in the tables, man. If you go from Marcin to the former heavyweight champion, I mean, if he wins, the world is his oyster, Everybody's going to be like, so who's the Cibula guy? He's an immediate player. But there is levels to this game. You heard that before. See what happened to the big ticket, Will Harris, when he replaced the last minute replays, and again, Verdum, he got dealt with. Verdum has beaten the best of the freaking best in the planet. Cain Velasquez, Fedor Emelianenko, Alistair Overeem at one time. The two top losers to the elite. I haven't seen Tiburi Zilli, man. He's going to get chewed up and speed out by Cal Cavallo, horse race here. I got Verdum by whatever he wants. He's a much better striker, technically speaking, with his Muay Thai. His ground game is second to none. Tiburi is just a slobber. He's going to try to throw and pin you down and try to box you or whatever. And freaking Verdum is going to take Tiburi's lunch and eat it, and then take his lunch money from the next thing and eat it too, and steal his girl and freaking adopt his children. I don't see Tiburi any way whatsoever beating Verdum. This is Verdum by any way he wants. This is a five-rounder. We're not going to need the five rounds. I mean, sometimes Verdum gets, falls in love with his striking and wants to, show off what he has done. But he only does that against people that he's supposed to, be careful, like Overeem or Travis Brown. And still, he shows up and put up a good fight. This guy, Tiburi, got nothing for Verdum. Second round submission for
Carlos. Wow. All right. So Marco going second round submission doesn't think Tybura has anything for the former champ. Pam, let's go throw to you real quickly here. Who you got? You got Verdum or you got Tybura?
Okay. Well, both of these guys, great ground games, great submissions. you've got one that was a two-time Polish amateur champ, multi-medalist in jiu-jitsu. He's a brown belt. Versus three-time world jiu-jitsu champ, black belt in jiu-jitsu, black belt in Muay Thai, brown belt in judo, losses to Overeem and Stipe. I am going for Bruce Verdum with the second-round submission. Boom.
Wow.
Boom.
Nobody at, to this point giving Tibera a chance. DJ Tony, I'm going to throw to you. Can you be the voice of reason on this one? Does Tibera have a chance against the former champ?
You know what, guys? I normally would try to be the voice of reason, just trying to literally give you the best fight analysis I can. But I agree with Marco. There are different levels that we've seen. We saw that with Verdum stepping up and just basically doing what he had to do. But Marcin Tybura is one hell of a fighter. I just don't think it's going to get to that point. I think somehow Verdum, and Tybura is a big guy. I think somehow Verdum is just going to do his magic. He is going to submit Marcin Tybura, and I'm going with I don't think it's going to go five. I agree with Marco, but I think it's going to go longer than three. I'm going to go with fourth round submission by Verdum.
Wow, you guys are shocking me right now, because we just in a couple of fights ago we were talking about the young surging prospect coming up and winning you know, against Means in Muhammad. And we've got Tibera showing us that he's game. Coming off of three wins, rolling into this fight against, of course, the strongest challenge he's probably had to date. I'm going to take Tibera. I'm going to take him all day. I'm going to take him by second round, TKO, KO. I think that this is his time to shine, and he's going to take advantage of it. Unless, of course, Fabricio tries to just lay on the ground again like we've seen him do, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think that Tibera is going to be able to work his game, stay away from Fabricio, and knock him out in a second. That's exactly what I got on that one.
Yeah, he actually has a longer reach than Verdum. Longer reach in arm and leg. He's got a you know, and nobody's saying that he's not good. You know, we're not saying that he's not, but I just think that if you look at, on paper and versus fights, just Fabrizio, he just has more experience. He's just better. But you know what? Anything can happen. He can go out there and just.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Thank you. Yes.
No, I agree.
Call the doctor. Promise is delirious. He got the sickness.
What you got?
I am down with the sickness, brother. You know that from me. Listen, guys, I got to move the show along real quickly because I want to get to some news, and there's a lot for us to talk about. So, spotlight fights of the night. We've got written down Nadia Kassim versus Alex Chambers, and, of course, Janelle Loaiza versus Eric Shelton. Sorry, guys, we don't have time to get everybody to get in and weigh in. I want to get into some news, and Marco, I'm going to start with you because I know you've probably got something inflammatory to say. So let's start with you, Marco. Throw out a news topic, and then we will go try and go around the horn or around the table and have a conversation about said topic. Marco, what's the biggest news topic? What's the biggest news topic that you have on the front of your mind, Marco? Go.
Okay, so Conor Mack, man, Conor McGregor, acting the fool on Bellator in Dublin, Ireland. First of all, what is this with Scott Coker promotions that people start brawls inside their cage? And it's Skyforce, now in Bellator. Get control of that damn cage, Scott Coker. What the hell is wrong with you? You should know better by now. That's it. Conor McGregor. Mr. Mack, went in the freaking cage and act a fool, you know, whatever. A lot of people are super, super angry. They want the hammer thrown to this guy. And I keep telling people, start facing reality. People wonder why Dublin police did not handcuff Conor McGregor for entering the cage and assaulting the referee and the official. Well, in Ireland, in Dublin, Ireland, Conor McGregor is a demigod. He's a national hero. If you hang up for whatever, you got 10 to 12,000 hooligans of that arena that will start a riot. So you go for the lesser of two evils. Let the guy freaking walk. Because you don't want a riot on your hand and a small bed like that. Second of all, what is the UFC going to do? Absolutely nothing. They're going to give him a fine, and they're going to make him do a PR tour. Because remember when Nevada fined Conor McGregor, and Conor McGregor went and said, okay, screw you guys, I'm fighting in Nevada no more. Nevada State Athletic Commission came around and told Conor McGregor, okay, I want to release your fine, and basically apologized to the dude, please don't fight in Nevada for us again. Of course he did, and make the millions of dollars with the Mayweather McGregor fight. The guy is in a position right now that very few athletes in the world can shop, you know. He's not the level of Ronaldo, Mayweather. He can call out his shots. Is he pulling an asshole move? Yeah. Should something happen to him? Yeah. Will it? No. And when they just face the facts, man, when money thought check walks, every time this celebrity gets into the freaking octagon or a ring, you get at least 1.5 million people watching on pay-per-view. That translates to almost $100 million taking revenue. And with that, when you freaking generate that kind of revenue, that kind of money, very few people are willing to freaking do anything. Mayweather famously freaking was allowed to fight before he went to jail for his domestic assault felony. Famously, the Nevada State Commission left him to do five too. So, is you expecting the government to be talking about Mayweather? I think you're going to be highly disappointed. But that's the life we live on, the planet we live on. This McGregor's planet, and we just freaking enjoy the show, bro.
All right, Pam. I kind of disagree with some of the things that Marco said, but Pam, let's throw to you because, again, Conor McGregor somehow seems to be in the news even though he's not actually fighting. He's not doing anything. Everybody wants to talk about him because he's being batshit crazy. Excuse my language. Pam, let's throw to you.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug. Anyway, you know what? Okay,
so
you know, Mark was saying that I said cocaine is a hell of a drug, but fuck your couch.
No, I agree. I agree, 100%.
I am Rick James.
Right. Fuck your couch. But anyway, so if he doesn't get punished, okay, where does it stop? Okay, because you have him slapping one guy in the face, you have him running around like a you know, crazy chicken, and then you have him pushing the ref, and then you have this bullshit excuse when the commissioner calls and I guess talks to Dana, and Dana says, oh, well, we're pulling him from 219 as punishment, when he was never on the 219 card. Come on, you know, like we're stupid? I mean, do they really think we're that stupid? But where does it end? If they don't do something about it and he doesn't get punished, where does it end? You know, how far does he keep pushing that envelope? You know, and you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, because there was that one fighter that he actually did push a ref and Dana cut him. Granted, he wasn't like one of the top people, but nevertheless, he got cut because Dana is like, you do not ever put your hands on a ref, ever. No excuses, you do not touch a ref. Okay, so he touched two guys. So, you know, he's at an event where he's not even a licensed corner man. You know, what if it would have been some crazed fan jumping that fence and you know, doing something? He would have been in jail. So, you know, why give precedence to him? Why? I don't know. I just don't. I'm not, I wish that they would do something. Will they do something? Who knows? You know, I think Dana's just, can't get, if he could get Conor's nuts out of his mouth, then maybe he would talk reasonably.
Wow.
But right now, I don't see it.
Hey, guys, I have to say this because Marco and I chimed in on MMA Junkie Radio. But the one thing that I will say is, and I said this on a show right after Marco called, but effectively, if the UFC really needed to make a statement, it's now, because they can strip him and say, listen, obviously he's going to stay on a roster. He can fight for the title whenever his suspension or whatever they want to do is up, right? But right now is their chance to strip him, and they can strip him without saying, hey, guess what? We don't want to do this, but we're kind of forced to do this. You know you're our guy, Conor. You know you're our guy, but you know what they're going to do? They're going to do absolutely, as Conor McGregor would say, Marco, not a goddamn thing.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely,
listen, guys.
Like I told, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ronnie. Go ahead.
No, you finish your thought, and then I'll go.
No, it's like I said, when you got a guy that produces that amount of revenue every time he shows up, it's very difficult to do too much to him. He literally, and I mean literally, has to freaking kill somebody for them to do something, you know, like something that is so egregious that you cannot defend the guy. These are minor acts. I mean, they got the bottle throwing incident with Nate Diaz, and we still got the fight. They still make millions of dollars, and we laugh about it. There's nothing's going to happen to the guy, man. He's probably going to get a nominal fine, something that, you know, he make up on the interest alone this weekend of his $100 million, you know, that he got from Mayweather McGregor. So it's not going to hurt him. Whatever they charge him on a fine, it won't be too much, and it will be pennies to the dollar for what the amount of money this guy gets. So like I said, nothing's going to happen to him.
Yeah, listen, guys, I commented on this on Sunday, and you guys are kind of, you know, just showing me exactly what needs to happen here. Something does need to happen here, and of course, I think that this particular action, if the UFC doesn't take any action against Conor McGregor, with what we heard from the president of the ABC and what we all think should happen, because you can't touch a referee, you can't jump into the ring or into the octagon, into the cage, whatever it might be. Maybe we need to have a worldwide commission, or, you know, start with the national commission, like we've been preaching on this show for a while. If there's a loophole like this, guys, we need to plug that hole. I mean, I think that the stronger, or the more we see the UFC do things like this, the stronger the case against them becomes, whether it be the class action lawsuit or whether it be the Ali Act trying to be pushed through commission or Congress in the United States of America. It's worldwide now, guys. We got to do something here. This shows us that we do, because we cannot allow this guy to get away with this, because as other people have mentioned, and as I mentioned on Sunday, something seriously could have happened that would have been a lot worse than what did happen. All right, Pam, I'm going to throw to you, because we are running on fumes on this show. Pam, we've got one more topic to talk about, and it's yours. What you got?
Okay. They're floating around rumors of Nate versus Tyron Woodley. Oh my God. It's just, could we be more ridiculous? I mean, why not? Let's get Demetrius Johnson versus, seriously, let's put Demetrius Johnson versus Stipe. That, you know, what the fuck is wrong with people? I mean, seriously, Nate is not even a welterweight. He's a lightweight. He fights at 155. He's done maybe three fights at 170. So you put him up against Tyron Woodley, who on maybe weighs in at 170. But then fight night, how much does he come in at? Like 200 pounds, 205? You know, and Nate, they have him ranked at number six welterweight. Why do you have a number six fighting a champion for the belt? You know, why don't you have him fighting Tony Ferguson if you want to go that route? But Tyron Woodley, it's a fucking joke.
No, I don't disagree. Marco, what you got to say on this topic? Anything?
Oh, yeah, I was surprised too, man. If anything, I would have thought they would have gotten Nick Diaz, you know, another welterweight, and a guy that had the same, you know, cult following that his brother had fought with Tyron Woodley. And Tyron Woodley would have said, yeah, because he wanted to fight with Nick Diaz at one point. But Nate makes no sense to me, man. I mean, it makes more sense to put Nate Diaz against Tony Ferguson. I agree with Pam. Just because Nate fought at 170 doesn't mean he's any good at 170. Rory McDonald has slapped him around like he was Sanghee from freaking a Street Fighter. If they make the fight, of course, I'm going to watch. And it's going to be entertaining. And I'm going to be waiting for Nate Diaz to win the belt, because I want him to win a belt. Checks himself, makes his interest. However, it's only rumors. It's nothing official. So after they stream it out on TV and make it official, I'm going to take it for the real soul. That card on December 30th is a good card, you know, but people got to make it angry. But then I was going up with Cyber Home. They're throwing this freaking bullshit fight with Tyron Woodley on Nate Diaz. I told you today, I don't think it's going to happen. And then Stipe is still with contract negotiations with the organization. If he doesn't get a clear top number one contender, anyway, what am I going to do for that car, man? When is it going to be the main event? Oh, well, what we're going to do.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you guys. I mean, this fight, in my opinion, does not need to happen. The last time we saw a Nate Diaz against a proper welterweight, he got thrown around the cage. I don't need to see this fight. You know, if Nate Diaz was entering into a fight camp to fight Conor McGregor, and that was the fight that he was training for, well, that would have gotten me more excited. But guess what? You didn't announce at UFC. So we don't believe you that fight was actually going to happen. I don't want to see this fight against Tyron Woodley. I want to see Tyron fight Colby Covington because there's heat there.
That would be fun. I want to see that.
I mean, see, everybody on this show is excited about seeing that fight because Colby Covington has sold it. We don't want to see Nate Diaz fight Tyron Woodley. We don't. It's you guys.
And y'all know how much I love Nate.
Right. We all do. And that's not the fight to make.
And I don't want to see that shit.
Figure it out.
Stupid. There you go.
Are we rolling that for?
Hey,
are we rolling that for Nate Diaz?
There we go. Hey, can I throw something in here real quick? I know we're running out of time, but just wanted to throw something in here. GDR pulled out from her fight again with more hand issues. How many fucking hands did she have? Is she an octopus? Damn.
Now listen, I don't think that's ooh, wow. Tony, right on it. Look, guys, I don't think that we need to worry about her. She's just, you know, that seems to be her MO, but and the more pressing news is exactly what we had been talking about, and guys, who knows what GDR is doing, because she's got another whole career.
She's got Khabib
Itis. She's not focusing. Yeah, she's exactly. She's got Khabib Itis, and she's not focusing on that. But by the way, Khabib's next fight sounds very interesting to me, and I hope that that actually happens. Listen, guys, we need to get out of here because we're burning on fumes. I apologize for running over everybody's comments on that. Pam, I want to throw to you because I need a Twitter follow. I need music recommendations or a TV show. Go for it.
Oh, music. Okay. Music recommendations. Ice Cube's Bop Gun. Great song. Funny,
well,
you know, good beat. Easy to dance to. It's on the Parliament. Good song. Twitter follow.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead. Y'all go ahead. I don't have a Twitter follow.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, because I had a joke on the end there, I was going to say, you know, people tell me that I'm no fun, but if you would have saw me on the dance floor last Friday night, whoop, I was tearing up a rug.
Oh, my God.
Are you doing the
white guy overbite?
No, I can actually dance, but thanks very much. Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy, shout out.
Okay.
Go ahead, Pam. What's your Twitter follow?
My Twitter follow, you know what? I spaced on that one. I'm sorry.
You know, we need to get Jason Knight back on this show, so I'm gonna say for you, because Jason Knight is like
okay,
2 weeks away from
his
fight. Twitter follow. Jason Knight, go ahead.
I like that.
All right. Pam co-signs on Jason Knight. Follow him on Twitter. Tony, what's your Twitter follow, song of the week, whatever you got? Let's hear it.
My Twitter, first off, I want to apologize to Misha Tate because we ran out of time. My Twitter follow of the week for Pam is at JJ Redick. Go Duke, JJ Redick.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Canadian boy, right?
JJ Redick?
Crickets?
Tennessee.
Oh, maybe. Am I wrong? I thought he was from Canada.
Take me to another place.
Is he playing in Tennessee? Oh. I apologize. Yeah. My bad. That's how much
we're talking
to popular sports.
We're talking a real team. We're talking real basketball.
Oh, apologize. Okay, so my Twitter follow of the week is going to be Mighty Car Mods. Of course, because the card is coming from New South Wales. And, of course, specifically in Sydney. That's where my boys are from. So I'm going to go ahead and give them a shout-out. Mighty Car Mods, go check out their new videos. They're doing awesome things. Marco, close the show.
Okay, guys. Enjoy the fight this weekend. We better meet you guys. Catch you guys next week.
Thank you very much, Marco. And I want to say thank you to all the listeners. Listen, you don't have to wait, rate, and review us. You know what? Just keep listening because you know what? We got you. And just like that, Pammy. She's got to love that one.
That's right. No, she's awesome.
I'm not surprised,
that's
motherfuckers.
That's like going to be hearing a lot of...
Gassos.